Party, an X-Files podcast. I'm Erin.
I'm Julia.
And today we are talking about Season 8, Episode 9, which is called Salvage.
My jaw is just open. I don't... This was fucking
What did we
violent.
Just watch?
Yeah, it was fucking violent.
It was violent, but I don't know. It wasn't that gory. It was just
It was just...
There was very little plot and a lot of just mindless, like, attack.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Not my favorite method of usage. But it was fine.
Yeah, I just feel it was fine.
Like we said last week, it feels like similar to other episodes that we've done already. And that's my only, critique, really. Like, substantial critique.
Fair enough, yeah.
It was like, I'm pretty sure we've had something with Gulf War Syndrome. I think we've had at least two episodes where it's mentioned. We've had an episode where, like, someone changes matter to, like, harm people or, like, get revenge or
something.
I mean,
they've been doing this for, like, 8 seasons, so they're probably like, I don't know what you guys want anymore. Like, we've done it all.
Yeah.
But we are based in Indiana. For this episode, do you think it's called Muncie or Munchie?
I thought it was Muncie.
Muncie.
Because they talk about it in Parks and Rec. That's where Jerry has his vacation home.
Oh, okay, perfect.
In Muncie, Indiana. Because I think everyone makes fun of him and he's like, they're like, that's where your, I think it's like a timeshare or something. They're like, that's where your timeshare is? Like, Muncie? I also decided that not just like the actors, but April Ludgate and House need to have a show together.
Okay.
Yes.
Hmm.
It would be perfect. Might be a little too similar to me, but that's okay. But yeah, I think it's Muncie.
Okay. We're in Muncie, Indiana. And we are with this woman who is... She's talking to one of her, like, late husband's friends, and they're, like, kind of arguing, kind of just, I don't, she's getting upset, but she also just lost her husband, so it's understandable. But they start talking about how she's heartbroken, her 41-year-old husband has just withered away, and she, like, he had a very long and drawn out illness, and it was like really sad. And more so than that, like, this guy Curtis that works with him is there comforting slash a little bit arguing with her, and she is like, she's clearly like, someone needs to take responsibility for this, someone did this to him, because this doesn't make any sense. And, you know, whether it, if it is Gulf War Syndrome, like, then, like, someone needs to be held accountable.
Yeah.
Because
Curtis is the one that's, like, it, like, there's no one, it's no one's fault. Like, it's this syndrome.
Right.
So I think it would obviously be a lot easier for her to deal with if there was, like, a physical person to blame, like it typically is. But she's not about that.
No, she's having a hard time, but again, her husband literally just died, so she can do whatever.
Yeah, and Curtis is about to have a real difficult time.
I forgot his name, and I knew that it wasn't this, but I just was like, Chuck. So I just, all my notes are Chuck.
That's fine. It starts with a C, it's okay.
Yeah.
And it has a there.
Yeah. They wait for Chuck leaves, and then... We see that someone is, like, watching from the window, though, and, like, follows him out, which is creepy. So someone's, like, spying on him. And then he goes to light a cigarette, and he, like, looks down for his lighter. And then when he looks back up, there's a man who looks like Ray, because we see a picture of Ray earlier on in the first scene. Mm-hmm. Someone who looks like Ray standing in front of him. He tries to stop, but... He ends up crashing, and the whole car is, like, literally split in half. Like,
He is not as injured as I feel like he should be at all. Yeah.
Well, so one, they used to make cars like absolute boats. And so yeah. Ray basically cuts through the entire like front of the car and stops at the windshield. And he's just perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And then
it's like he's the strongest lamppost in the world.
Yeah. He's like, Curtis is hurt, but he's not dead.
He has like some glass in his face.
Yeah.
And he's about to have a lot fucking more glass in his face. Yeah,
because then he like looks up and he's like, Ray, like, what's going on? What's happening right now? And then Ray just like reaches in with, and we assume kills him. But he just like pulls him out by his skull. It's crazy.
Yeah. Through the windshield.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Ugh. It's fucking gross.
We don't really see anything, but we just see him like reach into the car. But we find out later that he definitely fucking put his fingers all the way through this guy's skull. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause Scully is checking him out. Right.
Well,
he didn't die. He's at the hospital, right?
No, he died. He's dead.
Okay. Right. She's doing the autopsy.
Yeah. So they get to, Scully and Doggett go to investigate the crash, and Scully is the one that's like, oh, like there must have been someone on the road that he was trying to stop for. And Doggett is like, no, like that doesn't make any sense because it would have to be like, forget what they said, like 50 times the density of steel or something like that. Something yeah. like crazy like that in order to like do the damage that they're seeing here.
Right.
And Scully's like, well, do you have any other suggestions then? Because like we clearly something did this, like we're looking at it. And he's like, well, it's not a man. And she's like, okay, well, there's fingerprints. So what do you want me to do? What
block of steel you know that has fingerprints?
Yeah.
But this one does. It's just always so funny that, like, because Mulder's gone, Scully just seems basically insane.
Yeah.
Because she's like, this is she's a special type radical. Of human. Yeah. She's been radicalized.
She definitely has been, but... We at first when they arrive, they don't even have a body. So they're like, there's not even any like Doggett is like, if there was someone who got hit by this car, like there would be blood everywhere. And right. we have like none. So they end up finding the body in a nearby garbage can. And sick. Literally he has like holes, like a bowling ball, like yeah, seared that's into how his skull. Scully
describes it. Which is fucking disgusting.
So gross. But she's like, this is the five finger, like, this is a human hand.
Death punch.
Literally. She's like, this is a human hand that someone reached in and grabbed him out by his face. Like, that's crazy.
Hot.
And Doggett ends up finding a fresh fingerprint and Ray Pierce's blood. That yeah. they test. So they go to talk to Nora, his wife, and when Doggett goes there, she is meeting with Harry O'Dell, who she's like, he worked with Ray and Curtis. And
she's just making her way down the line.
Yeah. Well, Doggett's just kind of like, okay, well, I want to talk to you because you said that your husband's dead and here's your husband's fingerprints and blood at this crime scene. So
right.
Things are looking a little weird.
Well, because she's like, points out that he was supposed to be cremated and mm-hmm. she never got any authorization or like anything with his name on it. She says that she got ashes back or remains yeah. back.
But... And he's like, I don't even have proof that he was ever at the like the morgue.
Yeah.
But Nora's like, no, like it was like a very long and painful death. Like I saw him die. I was there for his funeral. Like you know, we got the ashes back, all those things. So she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. But she also is like, even if Ray was alive, which he's not, he would never do that to Curtis. Like, Curtis was his friend, and he was, like, a very gentle person. Like, he would never hurt anyone. Right. He wouldn't do that. So she's like, absolutely not. That doesn't make any sense. Later, we kind of cut scene to a, looks like maybe a mental hospital. Wikipedia calls it a halfway house, which makes sense. And he gets there, and this woman, Lorena, she is a volunteer there, and she just tries to, she's trying to, like, get him to open up a little bit and talk about what's going on and trying to get him to eat. And he's literally just like, leave me alone. It's not getting
much. Yeah.
He is eating the fucking tinfoil off of his sandwich, so.
Because she's like, you okay, dude? Like, you're literally eating foil. You're supposed to take that off. And he's just like, because he still has his hood on and everything, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little unsettling to look at, but that's okay. This is X-Files. There's really not much settling to look at.
And then, like, I mean, yeah, he's just giving her nothing. She's trying really hard. She's obviously, like, a very caring, sweet person. Meanwhile, we see Odell, the guy that was at his wife's house, shredding documents in the salvage yard when all of a sudden Ray appears. And Harry tries to be like, oh, hey, bud, like, what's going on? I was worried about you. We're all worried. Like, haven't seen you in a couple days. And meanwhile, he's reaching for his fucking gun. And he is like, we didn't do anything. Like, me and Curtis are your friends. Like, we would never do anything to hurt you. And, you know, like, we're worried about you because, well, I guess just him. But he's like, I'm worried about you. Like, they're saying that you killed Curtis. Like, I know you would never do that. So, like, whatever. He's just trying to, like, weasel his way out.
Yeah.
And then Ray, he goes to point the gun at Ray, which he does. But Ray ends up, like, tumbling backwards into the yard. And his arm is shot off. But then all of a sudden, in front of Harry, his arm starts to regrow, and it's literally, like, metal sticks out, and then it, like, forms a hand it's afterwards. So gross. And then he takes his hand and shoves it through Ray's, through Harry's face. So he said,
I just can't get over the aggressiveness of that.
I mean, to be fair, all these men are, like, trying to get with his wife, like, 2 days after he dies, after they fucking did it to him, so.
Yeah.
I'm on Ray's side. I think he's being very reasonable. What else would you do? I mean, come on.
Stay down. Haunt them through a Ouija board. Oh my god. When I turned, I don't even think I had turned the TV on, but we sat down on the couch to, like, watch, and where my, like, Ouija board is, my fake Ouija board with, like, all my Halloween decorations, something just, like, fucking fell off, and, like, three things tumbled with it, and I was like, cool.
Hello?
Witchcraft. Yay. Didn't do anything. No one.
At least this
anything.
Wasn't like one of the really scary episodes.
Yeah. I mean, we hadn't even turned it on yet, but I was like, cool.
Yeah, but imagine, like, something like that happens and then you try to watch, like, a scary episode of X-Files.
Yeah, no thank you.
Yeah. Harry, fuck Harry, first of all. Harry's a horrible friend. And then he's like, this time you're gonna stay dead. But joke's on him, because now he is very dead. Then the next day, obviously, Doggy and Scully are getting called to this new crime scene. And they start going through the stuff that Harry was shredding. And they find a company name for Chamber Technologies, which leads them to the next kind of series of things. So, but also I love that Doggett is still obviously not convinced about what's going on. He, like, doesn't believe what Scully is saying, and he's just like, no, like, that's not what's happening. But he's like, he's a metal man? Like, what is that, Doggett?
Hold on. There was, like, some sort of fun fact about that part. Yeah, because his character in Terminator 2 was literally, like, built out of liquid metal. So, haha, so funny.
Yeah. He goes to this company, and he ends up meeting with a doctor there who tells him that basically this company makes smart metals, so they're hoping to have these, like, metals that can regenerate on their own, and they are, like, able to rebuild. But she's like, they're like, it's so far out, you know, it's yeah. not going to happen anytime soon. And then Doggett's like, well, why is this employee number on this shredded document then? And they explain that the employee, Dr. Clifton, doesn't work for the company anymore. And, then when Doggett mentions all of this to Scully, she's like, Ray Pierce's medical records showed that he didn't have Gulf War syndrome, but that his entire cellular structure was changing due to exposure to an unknown substance. So,
perfect.
Yeah.
Our favorite excuse.
Back at the halfway house, Lorena ends up seeing Ray's obituary, and then, like, right afterwards sees the television story about the murder, and she reaches out to Nora to, like, see what's going on, because she's like, I'm so confused right now.
Seeing ghosts.
And then Pierce, Ray, okay. They really, like, have been calling him Ray this whole time and then decided to just switch to Pierce, which really confused me for a second. But Pierce then ends up at Chamber Technologies, and Dr. Pogolov lures him into a containment chamber that they have, which is literally just, like, a sealed metal box. But he is, like, pounding that door down. Yeah. And Doggett, Scully, and, like, a whole SWAT team is there. However, all of a sudden, like, the noise stops, and they're like, okay, open the door. And they realize that he has literally torn his way through the back wall and disappeared.
No, I mean, because, like, this part of the episode reminds me of the one with the invisible animals on the ship, like the container ship.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
So, I don't know. I just feel like they're recycling little bits of past episodes that have done really well. But yeah. Again, that's just me being picky.
Right.
And not being super interested in this episode.
Yeah. And then Ray goes back to the halfway house where his wife is waiting for him. And he's like, you shouldn't be here. And she's like, well, like, you didn't, why didn't you call me? It's just weird that you came back from the dead and you, like, didn't even call me.
Yeah. If he would, he could. I mean, if he could, literally. He would, whatever it is.
He should, okay? Why didn't you call your wife, Ray?
Yeah. Killing all your fucking. Text her.
And, like, dude, like, first of all, like, he's killing everyone that she has a chance to, like, rebound with.
Yeah.
Rude. You're the one that died, sir. And then you don't even call her? I don't know. It just seems fucking rude.
It's screaming fuckboy.
Yeah. I feel like Ray probably faked his own death just to, like, go fuck around, you know?
Now he's finding
just,
out.
Oh, men. But Ray is like, I didn't come home because I'm not myself, babe. I'm not my best self, you know? Meanwhile, he has an entire face of metal, not in, like, the crazy Pierce way. Like, he's literally Iron Man at this point. Yeah.
Steel Man.
Yeah, Steel Man. Aluminum Foil Man. Do you think he was eating the tin foil because that's his, like, that's what he needs to regenerate?
It's like his jerky.
Yeah.
He just has a really intense version of that fucking disorder. where people want to eat dirt.
Oh, like mica?
Yeah.
Pica.
It's like mica is like glitter dust.
Yeah,
glitter
yeah.
dust that gets put in makeup. My mouth is dying, okay?
We're doing great. Okay, so Ray has a hissy fit and he's like, they need to pay. They all need to pay. Not sure who that is, but meanwhile, Doggett is continuing to search the salvage yard and he finds a like metal drum barrel, inside of which is a metal corpse. Yeah. So when they start asking questions, the doctor is like, oh, that's Dr. Clifton, the doctor that they said disappeared.
I mean, he did disappear. They just said,
yeah. But Clifton was actually poisoned by his own work with alloys and requested that he be put in the barrel in order to not ruin the company or slow the research. Very odd.
A little too dedicated to his work, quote unquote.
The barrel was meant to be transferred someplace safe, but instead it got sent to the salvage yard. And then from there, Ray was exposed to that, which caused all of this, and was then transformed into a metal human. Doggett notices that Nora is at the lab, and she's looking through files for the person who did this to Ray. And he starts talking to her, and he's like, hey, like, this is all, you know, really sad, and I'm so sorry, but, like, no one intentionally did this to your husband. Yeah. Like, you know, yes, are you, like, you should be angry, and maybe you can, like, sue the company, which I think you should, but, like, you don't have to, like, help him kill someone, you know what I mean? Like, no one, yeah. like, intentionally did this with the idea that this would hurt your husband. Like,
yeah. Like, don't pick his next victims for him.
Yeah. And she is like, okay, well...
Sorry, too late.
she understands, but then, like, later, Ray comes back and basically, like, threatens her. So she's like, okay, well, like, this is the person that I saw, like, on the papers, which... is sad because it's literally a fucking like accountant who has nothing to do with any of it. But
we'll get to that in a bit because we go back to the halfway house.
They go to the halfway house and it's raided by the FBI because they think that Ray might be there. However,
not wrong.
Lorena finds Ray and he tries to just keep her quiet so that they don't find him, but he puts his hand over her mouth and he accidentally kills her.
Basically, like little tiny knives.
Yeah.
And so, like not clean knives, but yeah. Ow. Ow, ow, ow.
Yeah. So he accidentally kills her.
So gross.
And then Doggett and Scully start to interrogate Nora because they're starting to be like, what does this lady know?
Well, they also are then, like, we need to, like, hopefully protect the next person.
Yeah.
So you really need to give us a name so we can, like, at and least try. And I think
it's clear that she's, like, kind of protecting Ray, you know? Right. Which is totally, I get, like, understandable. However, she arrives home and Ray starts basically threatening her to tell him who it is that's on the papers. And she's like, at first, like not trying to give it to her. And she's trying to reason with him and be like, no one did this intentionally. Like we shouldn't hurt anyone, like things like that. But
he doesn't care.
He does not care. And she's getting scared. So she tells him that the man responsible is named Owen Harris. And then after giving him that tip, Nora goes to the police and says, like, that you guys have to go protect Owen Harris because Ray's going to come after him.
Yeah.
However, Ray finds Harris quickly with his family, and he pulls him out of the car. He almost kills him, but then
Owen's family's in the fucking car.
Owen's family, and like I think specifically his kid is like crying for his dad, yeah. And I think something, whatever part of like actual Ray was still in there, yeah, realizes that this man did not mean to do him any harm, and like it was truly not intentional,
right?
There's no, and it was an accident, and yeah,
there's no reason to slaughter a man in front of his like 5-year-old son.
Yeah, because he like made a mistake that he didn't even probably. He's an accountant. No. Like it's, yeah, not. He's not a lawyer. Like, he's not, you know, an evil, what I mean?
Accountant.
Like, right. I don't know why the accountant would have responsibility over where something goes, but whatever.
I think that's just that serious blind fucking rage that,
yeah,
men really get very easily.
But he lets him go, and they're like, see, like, part of Ray must have still been in there, and that's what drove him to, like, ultimately not kill Owen. But that the rest of whatever drove him to kill also made him spare a man who begged for his life. At the end of the episode, oh yeah, the car is crushed, and we see that he's still like alive in there.
Yeah,
so we see his eyeball, which is kind of creepy.
And then we end there. I mean, how do you feel about it?
I feel like it's just like, it's fine. It's fine. It's not. It was just a little, like, boring, and the plot was lacking.
Yeah.
It's fine. I don't feel connected to any of those characters, yeah, so.
It didn't get a super high rating. Like, it's, yeah, still above a 5 on IMDb, but, like.
Yeah, it was fun. It's like, okay, cool. Yeah, I just think, like, the whole thing is a little weird. I think it would have been cooler if they were, like, kind of ran with the Gulf War thing, and if it was like government testing of,
right,
on like soldiers, like I feel like that would have been cooler and much more X-Files. Like, what are you thinking?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like, oh, oops, we accidentally like shipped it to the wrong container. Like, what? That's dumb.
Yeah, because I mean, hold on, I'm gonna see whatever other X-File episode was about the Gulf War, because I think the other one was more like that. Or just, like, typical Gulf War syndrome shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Okay, this is all the way in season 1. Holy fuck. Season 1, episode 17. So in the episode EBE, Scully suggests that a character might have the Gulf War syndrome after he starts coughing. And in the episode, Mulder proposes to the lone gunman that UFOs cause Gulf War syndrome. So, cool. Oh, okay. Mulder and Scully receive information from Deep Throat about a UFO that was shot down over Iraq that has secretly been transported to the U.S. So that makes a little bit more sense.
Mm.
But, no, I agree with you. It just, it's like losing the X-Files spark, which I think is very important to, like, keep the spark, yeah, to the game. I mean, all that I really have besides, like, the middleman thing is that this is loosely based on, like, a 1989 cyberpunk film from Japan called Tetsuo? No idea. And that the writer Jeffrey Bell wrote this episode before Robert Patrick was even cast in the show.
And cool.
Yeah, this was also Bell's, like, final X-File episode, because then he joined the writing team for Angel.
Nice.
Which maybe that will be a little bit more suited for him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really see. There's like some stuff about the way that they did the car scenes and like filming against a green screen, but I don't think that that's anything revolutionary.
No. I mean, it was pretty well done for, like,
no, it was pretty well done, for sure. We wouldn't have been able to do that 7 seasons ago.
No.
No.
No. They would have tried. They would have used, like, a Hot Wheel.
Yeah. Been like, what? Why does it look so small? It's just a toy car.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it, though.
Okay.
You ready? What do we got next week?
Okay, so season 8, episode 10 is called Badla. A small Indian man on a creaky cart with powers of illusion is believed to have the ability to take over people's bodies and kill them by leaping into their anal cavity.
What?
Doggett and Scully try to stop his gruesome killing spree. Most of that. I don't remember anything about an anal cavity.
What the fuck?
What is happening over here?
I can't
wait. 2001 after, like, this episode.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Good lord. What? Oh, good lord. It's like, did they just take, like, an anatomy class? So they're just going through all different weird syndromes.
They're like, we want to make sure to keep it fresh and new, you know?
Yeah. Jesus.
Keep things exciting.
Oh, well, can't wait for this one. Christ almighty.
Oh, man. All right.
Oh.
Porter
just came. Yep. A little too late, Porter. Baby.
You missed the whole episode. Thanks for your help.
Yeah. Now your mama's got to go. Okay.
Okay. Well, stay safe.
Stay spooky.
Bye.
Bye.